push the record button and we will start this Sprint showcase. And today I do not have the stats ready because I had to struggle to change WebExes as well as physical meeting rooms here. So I was wondering maybe if I can put Sebastian or Nico down on the spot if you want to briefly screen share and just show what the Agile board looks like to give an overview of kind of how much stuff got moved to done this sprint. Because I don't have our normal charts and graphs, but if you maybe want to tell us briefly how many points and what some of the major tickets that got moved to done are so we have a high-level view, then we can dive in and showcase.
Okay, so I can share the screen, I guess.
Zoom. Yep, share screen. It works pretty similar to WebEx. If anybody has issues, you can use the chat. But now we see your screen.
Okay, so let me just wait a second because the rest of the team doesn't see my screen currently. I will try to fix this. But somehow I have lost the controls. Oh, okay. Here it is. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so this sprint, we have managed to actually close 28 tickets. Currently, you only have like two in progress that will carry over to the next sprint, which is, in my opinion, a pretty good good result. We've also managed to pull some of the quick win tickets into the sprint and finish them. And to take a quick look at the at our burn down, you can see that it perhaps wasn't as smooth as it could be, but we've managed to actually achieve our sprint goal, which was 65 points this time, and actually get a little above that, resulting in 71 story points completed this sprint. Our main focus was implementing the first layer of local fulfillment. So those are tickets like let me find them. Adding the orders list, viewing order basic details, and I guess we have one more, but I'm not sure I can find it right now. Yes, and other than that, we've also done some improvements to the fulfillment module and completed some of smaller bugs and improvements to the system. We have also worked on performance a bit. We've added metrics for some of our endpoints in the reference data module. And also big news is that we have finally put the quality gate on Sonar, so all our builds are actually now checked whether we meet the requirements. Yes, so I think that's about it. Like a really short recap about what was done the sprint. And do we want to take a look at any other chart, or should I just move forward?
I think maybe the one other place we could look would be could look really quick at Sonar. It sounds like all the quality gates have been passing since they got turned on, but a quick look just to see and confirm that might be nice.
Yes, so let me find the Sonar. I didn't actually Yes, so here we have the all the builds on Sonar, and to get to the Sonar cube. Okay, so as you can see, every module is passing the quality gate. Perhaps Brandon, you would like to say something more about Sonar, or should I carry on?
No, I mean, I think this is great. We, you know, it's great to see all 12 pieces here having the quality gate pass, and it's also great to see the sprint stats of, you know, what 71 points completed is really good, and a lot of stuff moves to done with very few rollovers. So far everything looks really good. I don't have any other things to add, and I thanks for letting me put you on the spot to show all that. So I think, unless other people have some comments about how this sprint went, we could start right into passing the ball around and showcasing.
Yes, so is there anyone who would like to share their opinion about how the sprint went? Okay, so if there is no one who would like to say anything, who would like to start showcasing? I guess Mateusz wanted to. Okay, so I will stop sharing the screen and let Mateusz carry on.
So can you see my screen?
Yeah, we see your screen on this end.
Yeah, okay. So I have five tickets to show today. The first is filtering CC inventory items by the facility. So let's just go to the test server. Let's just log out. I think I just logged in as default, so we can go to the C inventory page. And as you can see now, we have the filter option with the facility status, which Nicole will be showing. So now we have the list of all supervised facilities and all supervised facilities for the CCE view and edit, right, I believe. So we'll just try this functionality real quick. So as you can see, all the facilities that we can that are present on the list are the selected one, so another one. Yeah, so pretty much this will be it. So we'll just move to the next one. The next one is a small bug from the stock management, which was about the border around the inputs wasn't hiding when the input actually should not be present in the table. So this is how it looked, and this was fixed already. So the third one is another bug. which actually was about the close icon on the top of the model and the functional status model. So the first implementation was to just fix the closing, so the model could be reopened. But as Nicodem suggested, we are no longer adding this X button on the top of the model, so we just removed it. I just removed it. The next.
Hey, Nicodem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that one 3397 the one that there was some comment with Nick yesterday about a different approach, or is that a different ticket?
Yeah, so let me just go on to the next one. Yeah, the fourth one is the pagination for user role tables. So,
question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry to interrupt and go back to that one. The 3397. I think you both answered, and we didn't hear the answer. Is that the one that like between Nick and Nicodem, the two of you are talking about whether that is the approach we really wanted?
Yeah, we need to have that discussion.
Yeah, should we not do that discussion at Showcase? Like, is this something you all have flagged and you'll find a way to talk about it in maybe the UI panel in Slack? Or how are you guys going to follow up to kind of get on the same page about modal?
I think we can follow up on Slack with this.
Yeah.
We don't I don't want to say waste time because it wouldn't be actually wasting time, but I think it's kind of out of the scope of the meeting, so we should probably carry on with this one on Slack and continue with the showcase because we are usually running out of time with the showcase meeting. So yeah, I'm totally fine with following on Slack. So we can discuss this, and or even better, we could post a dev forum post, so it doesn't get lost in the Slack, because that's usually a problem with Slack, and the thing that the messages are disappearing after some time.
Go
ahead, Nick.
I think the only important part, like, I'm really happy kind of letting this solution roll on for right now, because we are going to be doing a lot of work on these modals in general. So, like, I do want to be able to go back to this ticket and work on the description so it's accurate to what we did. But, you know, I'm okay letting this one ride a little bit. You know, I think most of my comment and why I flagged it was because I was surprised at how this decision was made. So we can talk about this on the dev list. It's probably a good thing to flag.
Okay, that sounds perfect. And the last comment I'll make is, yeah, I totally agree with you. From the ticket, the fact that most of the description is crossed out makes it really hard to tell, like, what did we actually do? What did we fix? So, yeah, if you are going to clean up the ticket a little or explain it on the dev forum, that would help anybody else have a record of what happened and why. So thanks.
Okay, so who should be responsible for posting that? The thread on the dev forum, should I do it, or?
I'll write it up. I mean, it'd be nice to let you all, you know, go home, because I know it's getting late over there.
Yeah, I think our models overall is something that we should probably document more in terms of the pattern, because currently we don't have any documentation on that.
There's been a ticket kicking around about documenting those things for quite a while. There's just been no time to actually put time into it.
Okay, so
completely.
Okay, so should we carry on with the showcase then?
Yes, please, and thank you for letting us have this interruption.
Yeah, so the next one was the pagination for user role table. So let me just open the users tab and go to roles for cyadin. Now we are having the pagination elements on the bottom of the table. So now that is paginated. There was some work done to the table, to the, all the tabs. Tab's name is actually visible in the URL, so now every tab has the pagination element. And let me just try add one row. As you can see, the number increased, and the new row is on the on the last page. So search remove, I believe that will be everything for this ticket. So the last one is performance tests for the user endpoint. So I updated some inputs, some controller codes, and added the profilers. Also added some tests that were missing from the user endpoints, and actually, I have also added some indexes to the tables, some of the results actually were better after that. And here in the comments are some results from the scholar, from the profiler. And I've tracked actually three endpoints that are taking a long time. So this is supervised facilities, fulfillment facilities, and role assignments. And for those three tickets, I created the new one. This one, for fixing those three endpoints. And the problem is actually with the role assignment loading lazily. I believe that will be everything from me. Are there any questions? If not, I will just stop sharing my screen. And who wants to take on? If I can be next one.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first ticket I will show is that we remove approved quantity field from the order line item. And this is how the order line item looks like right now. And you can see that there is no approved quantity field. Also, all the references to the approved quantity was modified to the ordered quantity. And for example, I will show it for procurement print. Okay. So for this order, you see the order quantity is 50 and 0. And when we print this order, see that there is quantity equal to 50 and 0. Okay. Next one was about modifying the stock event schema to introduce TTO instead of domain classes. So currently, stock event DTO contains a list of stock event line item DTOs, and this DTO contains a list of stock event adjustment DTO, and according to the ticket, the adjustment DTO contains only reason ID and quantity. And what was described in the ticket, quantity validator will retrieve reasons from the database, not from the stock event. The next one was about ticket was about enabling quality gates. So that was shown earlier. We have a new Sonar builds on our Jenkins. Each of them execute the Sonar build, next send the data to the Sonar and wait until quality gate will be calculated. And this is example of Sonar job. For this one is for CCA service. I also wanted to show how message are displayed on the slide. So if quality gate failed, then this is how Jenkins will inform us. Also the job will fail. And if quality gate passed, then there will be similar message with different status, of course, and there will be green. Also, I modified that the message will be only shown when the quality gate status will be changed. So there will be no message like passed, and so on, because there was too many of them. Okay, and the last one was about adding performance tests for all facility endpoints. So in this ticket, I added performance tests. I also made some small changes in the code. I modified some methods to improve quality. I added index to the database, fields, and so on. And some endpoints meet our time requirement, and for other I created additional tickets to only concrete for the given endpoint. Yeah, and basically that's everything from me. Do you have any questions, or I should pass the ball to someone else? Okay, so want to now
show? You can pass the ball to me.
Okay.
Oh, well, I actually just start sharing my screen again. Okay, can you see my screen? can you hear us, or we have some connection problems?
We can hear you and we can see your screen, Nicola.
Okay, great. So I will start with, this is actually a bug. So the first ticket that I have completed the sprint is updating our password model to actually change the title and the button label based on the context we were using it with. So in case we are creating the password, the model will now will still say create password, and when we actually change the password for the user, it will show a reset password, as you can see here. Okay, so I will move to the next one, unless there are any questions about this one. Okay, so the next one is about shortening the column's name on the batch approval screen. And as you can see, the column here no longer says product code or product name. It will now only say the code and name, and the word product has been moved up, so it doesn't actually take as much space as it was. Also, while implementing this ticket, I also cleared the controller a bit. Oh, was it factory? Because we are some we had some obsolete code that was actually not removed when we updated the markup to make it static instead of based on the JavaScript list. So, are there any questions about this one? Okay, so the next ticket that I completed was actually freezing the dependency in our dev UI image. It was done because our that the Angular version has changed. It has moved from 1.6.6 to 1.6.7, and because of that, there was a bug fix to HTTP backend service that was actually used in some of our tests, and some of the tests actually relied on the fact that it had a bug and wasn't reporting some of the error messages that it should. To prevent the release of the whole reference UI, we simply decided to freeze the version in the dev UI image, so we wouldn't have to deal with that. And we have also fixed those tests in a separate ticket, so we can use the newest version of the Angular JS in OpenMIS. So as you can see here, if we have the review, you can see the versions has been frozen for the Angular modules that we are using. Okay, so are there any questions about this one?
There is one suggestion.
Yes, yes?
Sorry, one quick question. Okay, the question is, for the ticket, it looks like maybe not tracking our commits. I see a review, but I don't see in that ticket that the commit has actually been tagged with the ticket number. It's a small detail, but let's make sure we keep doing that.
Is it the commit? I actually implemented the change before creating the ticket. That's why.
Understandable, but still we wanted. It's part of our auditability, however you phrase that.
Okay, I will do that under the showcase.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the next thing that I have done was actually investigating and fixing the failing UI builds. was done together with Mateusz. This is the same issue that we had with that previous ticket was about, meaning the Angular releasing new version, and some of our tests were failing because we were relying on that bug. So we actually had to fix those changes, and like, as you can see, here we have the comments that actually fixed those bugs in our tests, which are now passing. And our the version of the DefUI actually uses the frozen version. So are there any questions about this one?
So this ticket actually fixed the failing unit tests from the previous ticket?
Yeah, so in this ticket we are actually fixing the bugs that were discovered in our test, and we also restored the but it was done to actually be able to use the newest version of the Angular.
Okay.
Current version of the OpenLMIS. And with the, I don't remember what was the name of that proposed module that would actually freeze the version on release. But I think it's actually a better idea to stick to the newest version of the Angular and then just freeze the version when we do a release. And it's something that we should keep in mind during the next release to prevent the same situation.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so are there any other questions about this one? Okay, so the last thing I have done this spring, was adding the ability to filter inventory items by their functional status. And to showcase this, I will simply go to the screen. I will most likely have to relog. Oh, I actually changed the user. Okay, so as you can see, when I enter the screen, all inventory items are displayed. There is no functional status value selected in the filter popover. Please notice that because of the fact that those fields are optional, that the popover didn't actually appear on itself. And it was also a desired behavior. So now, as you can see, I can select any of the functional statuses. Let's say I will go with the functioning one. I will click search. And as you can see, I'm currently only seeing the inventory items that are functioning. Also, jumping around the pages doesn't disable the filtering. And as you can see, it is still selected here. So, yeah, and changing it to any other are also resulting filtering them by the desired status. So as you can see, here we have the non-functional ones and the obsolete ones. Okay, so I think that's about it. And it's everything I had to show today. Are there any questions about any of the tickets?
Yeah, I have a quick question on this, and apologies if I haven't had a chance to go back to the original ticket. Did this filter component, when a filter is in place, was there a requirement to visually show that a filter is in place?
In the original, the filter component ticket, it was a requirement to actually show the filter popover when there are any fields that are required and are not filled. So when we have to fill the form in any way to actually see any results, it will pop on its own when we enter the screen.
So my question is specifically on after a filter has been selected in the button or some sort of visual indication that a filter it has been selected. Was that a part of the original component?
It was, but
can I jump in?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, it was. We decided to split it out. There are a couple of tickets in next sprint about socializing and talking about what changes we need to do to finish this filter component, because we've had internal disagreements and with GDHC or acronym soup, we as a core team haven't had time to talk about it yet. So we're holding off on finishing it until we can, you know, all come to terms with what's going on, because, you know. But yes, and there is a follow-up ticket for that, and we will get there.
Thank you for answering my question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are there any other questions about the tickets, or should I let someone else show what they've got today? Okay, so who would like to be next? Okay, so I will stop sharing my screen and actually let Claudia showcase what she has completed this sprint.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So the first is a ticket about view orders list. It was about adding last updated details to the order and display it on the order list. It was create date and last update date. So okay, I think I have to go to incognito. And as you can see, we have these two new columns here. Next is bug. about programs dropdown, which has no options to select. It was a simple fix in HTML markup. There was just no module param. The next is internal error when accessing the view orders page. The root cause here is was calling the program service get user programs without user's ID. And it caused this error. And the last one is remove warning model. It was when we want to add some product to the non-full supply, and we don't have any options available. And here is error instead of warning. And that's it. Do you have any questions?
I'm sorry, again, I joined the showcase a little late. Was there a ticket about adding the button to fulfill?
Yeah.
Sorry, is someone showcasing that next? Or
it was 3607. It was about adding update details to order.
And the thing that added was just a couple of the date columns you showed, or maybe you could go back and show this one a little more so we know what got added to order.
Okay, here we have this date created was previously, and now we add this last updated column.
Okay, and it does look like the fulfill button is over there on the right, but we haven't showcased that yesterday, so maybe we'll see that in another ticket.
Maybe.
I think Pavel Albetsky was adding the details page, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Pavel's ticket.
So, yeah, we will see that once Pavel will showcase what we got today.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So I pass the ball to Joanna.
All right. Maybe. So let me share my screen. All right, so can you see my screen?
Yep.
So it was a very busy sprint, and in total we have tested 20 tickets. I have tested 15 of them, Claudia 4 and Matush 1. And right now all of the tickets have been nearly all of the tickets have been retested and have now passed. Only one remains as a fail. It is related to a horizontal table horizontal scroll bar, and one of the issues is that one can use the scroll bar to scroll even beyond the border of the table, as you can see here, for instance. Apart from that, I have created 10 tickets in the sprint, and let me show them to you. First, it was the one concerning the fact that the arrow concerning the pagination is too close to the text in the in user roles pagination. Yes, as you can see, it's too close. Then I found an issue related to sorting products. On the second hand page, and as you can see on the page, they are sorted as they should. The data related to one product are next to this product. They are not mixed, so to say. As you can see in the stock card summary report, they are mixed. Then there was a bug related to input fields that were wider than dropdowns, but then it turned out that this issue has already been reported and it was a duplicate. Now this issue no longer occurs. I also created 3 tickets related to performance issues, but I will mark them as dead because they were caused by the fact that there are performance data on the test server and they do not occur any longer. They were visible especially on the requisition create authorize screen in a physical inventory and in stock management receive, especially when using the selects. Then I found an issue related to the source comments input field in stock. Yes?
Yeah, a question, Joanna. The bugs you found, that were those performance ones that you said were moved to dead, do you think any of them really might be an issue if in countries where there's maybe more data in the system, will those problems cause the users an issue?
Well, the issue no longer occurs on the test server, but well, maybe it would be good to check whether they still occur on the performance server. I can do that, and if the issue those issues no longer occur, probably I think I should mark those 3 tickets as dead.
Okay, yeah, I think testing on the perp test would be good, and I think that's a way where we can jump onto perp test when we want to see if there are situations where a lot of data causes a problem. So, yeah, if we can recheck those, because they really might be causing users an issue, that would be great.
All right, so I will do that. And the issue that I found in stock management receive screen consists in the fact that the source comments field is in displayed correctly only on Firefox. As you can see, it is not aligned with other input fields and it is bigger than them. And also, when there were performance data on the test server, I noticed that the proceed button appears next to all periods when the reposition is an emergency one. And I think this could be improved so that this button only occurs next to the first period on the list. And finally, I created two tickets today. One, I think, is the most important one because it's an internal server. Yes?
Joanna, can you go back to that screenshot of the emergency?
Right.
Is that because performance data has populated a bunch of emergency requisitions? I guess I'm... So I do know that if you start an emergency requisition, I guess
yes.
I'm confused on how this happened. Because this is strange for emergency requisitions, you shouldn't have periods. These are crazy period things.
Yeah, but I don't know if you didn't click it junk data. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe what you're asking is do you introduce this on test?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is not how it should look for emergencies. They shouldn't have a bunch of...
So these are all overlap.
You shouldn't even be able to have overlapping. You can't one period.
Okay, so it sounds like Josh and Mary Jo are saying this issue, it lets you proceed with multiple only because the essential med program in this first data has multiple periods all overlapping the same date range. So when you come to the screen, all of these periods are currently active, or you're in the middle of all these months because these are actually overlapping periods, so it lets you proceed with any of them. And maybe in real life that will not happen very often, and Josh and Mary Jo can talk later about whether we ever need a validation for that anywhere. That's sort of a bit. Don't use first test for this sort of testing. Yeah, so in this case, I think, Joanna, we found an issue that probably wouldn't happen in the real world, but thanks for letting us chat about it.
All right, I see. So let me return to the error that I was talking about. Well, I think it's the most important one that I found in the sprint because it's an internal server error. It occurs when trying to submit physical inventory. And it occurs on both browsers for both programs and whether one adds any reasons or not. And as you can see, here is the error message. And finally, yes.
One thing is the steps to reproduce this bug. Can you go back to the ticket? It's unclear to me about how to reproduce this bug. Would you be willing to update this description to be clear about what one needs to do to reproduce it?
Yeah,
or is it direct from the test case and when you hit a certain step? If that's the case, then maybe you could like copy over the steps of the test case that you had done and then when you hit this bug, or is it linked to that test case? Could you clarify?
All right, I will add the reproduction steps to the ticket.
Okay, yeah, that's really important so that when we're taking a look through the bugs, when there aren't reproduction steps, it's really challenging for us to reproduce the bugs. So it's really important when everyone's doing bug logging to make sure you put the reproduction step in there.
All right, I will remember about that.
And thank you for finding this. This is a really, the fact that you got the Java code to throw like a null pointer exception, this is a really good, a really nasty bug, and I'm really glad you found it. So even though you may find this with a regression, I'm not sure. It's good we caught it now, and we can work on it.
Yes, I suppose it is a regression because, several days ago it used to work. But I can't be sure. Well, at least some time ago it did work. I remember it. So do you have any more questions, or should I proceed to the last ticket? All right, so I'll show you the last one. So it is, I'm not sure if it's really a bug or an improvement, because I noticed that one model doesn't work in the same way as in a requisition, because when you add reasons for a product in physical inventory, you can add the same reason for the same product twice. And I remember that I think in the last sprint, in the requisition, in the losses and adjustments model, it was changed so that you can use one reason for one product only once. And after you have used it, it disappears from this reason drop-down list, and you can no longer select it.
Interesting. I was under the impression that's the same code in both places.
Me too, yeah. So that's
it is. Yeah, it's very interesting. This is a really good catch. And what I'm not sure of is the desired behavior. If there was ever some explanation that if we made the code work differently in both spots.
I don't think there was an explicit desire to do that. We actually explicitly wanted it to be the same code, so that's interesting that this happened. I'm not aware of an explicit need to be able to have two different, because you can't choose a different date.
Right.
The only time you would want to be able to choose two of the same reasons is if you could indicate different dates with it. But in both physical inventory and requisition, you aren't selecting a date, so there would be no need to have two reasons of the same reason.
Yeah.
In this. So it doesn't make sense to have it be different. I'm not sure how that happened. We might have to investigate that. But.
And so as far as I'm aware, these models should share the same code, but I think there was something added to actually some kind of hook to let the change how the reasons are filtered and stuff like that. So that perhaps might be causing the problem.
Because, yeah, and I guess. I can chime in here because I believe this is the change that I was making. We had an explicit requirement in the requisition service that there is only one adjustment type per requisition line item. And it is actually reusing the same code from the UI components, I believe. But there is this hook that allows you to filter the available reason types. And in requisition, in the requisition screen, it actually filters out the ones that have already been selected and doesn't display them anymore in the dropdown. That's not the case on the stock management UI. But if it is desired that the stock management UI works the same way, it's very easy to change that since we are using the same code, basically.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think what I would like to understand so we can do some learning on our side is figure out which tickets did this work. But thank you for explaining this, and I think we might want to pull this offline and do some digging.
Hey, sure, that sounds great.
I see. Do you have any other questions? So I think that would be all from me, and I will pass the ball. Who wants to be next?
So is that everyone from Gdańsk now?
Yeah, we let everyone showcase our course, I guess, Daniano.
Okay, so I guess I can continue.
All right.
Okay, and I hope that you can see my screen now, but if that's not the case, please pick up. And I've got two tickets to showcase today. Most of my time this sprint I have spent working on creating the expanded REST API pattern. And let me maybe just briefly talk what this event is supposed to be about. Actually, our service style guide documentation talks a little bit about this. So in our APIs, we are using the object references that actually contain IDs of the referenced entities and direct URLs to those entities if we are interested in fetching more details about that referenced entity. The expanded REST API pattern allows us to specify which fields, which reference fields we want to also include in the JSON representation of in the response. And maybe just to show what I am talking about, this is a sample JSON representation. It's actually coming from the SEC inventory items. And we have references to the facility, to program, and to the user, to the last user that has modified this instance. And as you can see, we have the ID of that user and the direct URL to retrieve additional details. And what has been done as a part of this ticket is, let me just grab the access token. So from now on, we can specify that we want the user field to contain a more detailed representation and not just ID and URL. And we are doing this by specifying to expand the last modifier field. And as you can see, if I am sending a request with this expand parameter set to last modifier, this representation now contains the ID, the URL, and also the first and last name. And which fields are present here is actually something that we can specify in the code. So the goal of this ticket was to make this solution as easy to be reused in other places as possible. And so if you want to do the same for any other field, any other referenced entity, you basically need to do two things. The first is to create the this DTO that contains the desired field and that inherits from the object reference DTO. So here we are specifying that our expanded last modifier will contain the first name and the last name fields. And the second thing that we need to do is to expand our endpoint to accept the expand parameter. And we are calling the object reference expander to actually extend the DTO with this list that we have provided here in the controller. And the whole expansion magic actually happens in that object reference expander. It uses reflection to actually read the fields from that have been retrieved from another service or just from the URL, and uses reflection to set them up in the object reference DTO. There is also quite some error handling down here. So if we try to extend a field that doesn't exist, we will be getting an error that we cannot, that this DTO object cannot be expanded because the field does not exist. There are also some additional validation rules that would be difficult to showcase. But for example, if the URL is not set, we will also be getting an error. Or if the or if we are actually not extending the object reference DTO for the field that that we want to extend. And I believe that we can even showcase. So yeah, the service URL. That's actually a string, so. Oh, never mind. There is no better for this one. So maybe catalog item. Yeah, and we are getting an error that the catalog item is not a subclass of the object reference DTO. Okay, so as I said, the goal was to make this as reusable as possible. If you wanted to do that for any other field in the inventory item, like the facility or the program, all we really need to do at this point is create those expanded DTO representations that extend the object reference DTO, and make sure that the endpoints where we want to use the expanded representation have this accept this parameter and call the object reference expander. At this point, we do not allow specifying concrete fields that we want to include. So I cannot say that I only want to have the first name of the user and not the last name. It will always contain the this representation, DTO representation that we have specified in the CCE service. And I have decided to do that simplified version because we don't really have a way to retrieve like not a full representation from the reference data or from the other services. So I didn't think that it would make too much sense because we would still be retrieving the whole object. And the only thing that would happen is that we would trim this representation in the CCE service. But if that is ever required, it won't be a very difficult change to make in the object reference expander. Okay, and I guess just to show that that it works, we can go to the CCE inventory, which is actually using the expanded version of that endpoint. And it is using it to display this information about last modifier, the last user that has modified the then the inventory item, and it shows the first name and last name here.
Hey Sebastian.
Hi.
I have a quick question for you, or maybe it's just to point it out, but it looked a little weird when you were showing the last screen with the JSON when it was expanded and still had the object reference in it. So that's a little weird. You were right there, yeah. So you have the ID and the href, and then the first name and the last name. If you're gonna ask for something expanded, you probably don't need that, you know, that information anymore.
The HRF part or the ID part?
Any of them. Does that make sense?
Well, so what we would get when we call this URL, we would still get even more expanded version. Because we have specified in the CCE service that we only want to see the first and the last name of the user. So this URL would still return like even more information. But I guess I can see why we wouldn't want to see this anymore. And yeah, I guess it may make sense to remove that.
Yeah, so think about it from a client perspective. I don't want to take up all the time here, but think about it from the client perspective of if you're asking to expand a field, then you want the expanded information. You no longer want the reference other thing, because presumably if you're asking for it to be expanded, that's all the information you're going to need. You don't need the reference, and you don't need to go pull it yourself. If you need to pull it yourself, then you don't need it expanded. So think about that. Just think about that, I guess. I would encourage us maybe to remove that. I think it's a small detail, but we can discuss it in Slack, or maybe Warm is a better place. But otherwise, this is looking pretty good. I think the only other comments, I think you're wrapping this up, so the only other comments I would make is that let's not adopt this pattern super wide very quickly. Let's do it in one or two more places and see how it's working, and then step back and ask ourselves. Like I put in the code review, I think there's a lot of indirection in this object-oriented approach, which makes sense, but indirection doesn't be a little confusing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so are there any other questions or comments about the expanded REST API?
Sebastian, is there a place where we've documented, like, if somebody wanted to do this for another plate, like another, like reapply this pattern somewhere else?
So other than this thing in the service style guide, I don't think so. So yeah, we have this expanded version described here, and some more details under the link about what the expanded pattern is. But we don't have like an implementation documented anywhere, because I don't really think we are doing that. Like, I don't think we are documenting the implementation details. But if you think that it would be good to put that somewhere, then you know I'm open to a discussion about this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that like if somebody wanted to support, you know, an expanded resource somewhere else, and they need to know exactly like which classes to kind of implement, then yeah, like what logic in which parts of the code to do. And it seems like unless you actually look at this code example, or you already know how to do it, then you may not know how to follow this pattern.
Okay, I will think about a good place to put it in, like maybe not exactly the implementation details, but just steps that need to be done to make use of that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is definitely complicated. Sorry, this is definitely complicated enough that, you know, documentation would help. I don't think we've done this for any other pattern for the rest of the code, but maybe as a suggestion, this could be a dev forum post. We have done kind of like that in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it could even be a dev forum post, just someplace like someone could reference, like, oh, okay, so these are the basic steps I need to follow in order to implement this pattern somewhere else.
Okay, so I will make a forum post about this.
Great.
Yeah, so my suggestion was to make this work out of the box for each of our resources. I remember we had a discussion on Slack about that. Can perhaps, well, you still would have to document that the field has to be of this reference DTO type. But other than that, you wouldn't have to do anything, I think, ideally. Is that like feasible in the future, upcoming future?
I guess it kind of depends, like, if we really want to commit ourselves to this pattern. From my understanding, this pattern is kind of temporary until we have a proper caching in the services. But yeah,
sorry, Sebastian, could you repeat that just briefly?
Yeah, so Pavel was actually saying that we may want to change this implementation so it works out of the box, like without having to specify this for every single endpoint that we are supporting the expansion.
Yeah, using a controller advice or an interceptor or something along those lines.
And I was saying that it would make sense, but provided that we commit ourselves to like supporting this expanded pattern in all the services. But from my understanding, we really don't want to like maybe use this for the long term. And well, after we implement proper caching in the services, we may not need the expanded pattern that much anymore.
Okay, I think I agree with, well, I agree with both of you in ways, but I when we're thinking about the RESTful expanded pattern, we definitely want the RESTful expanded. We want to expand that. We want to get more aggressive about having services not include other RESTful resources in you know, every response, and instead have references, and you need to expand it, you can expand it. So hopefully that makes sense. Maybe there's some detail I'm missing there. As far as the implementation goes, I do think, you know, maybe I agree. We should hold off a little bit in before we formalize the implementation. And it would be great to get those things, if we could, into controller advices and extract away, you know, the level of effort there. But yeah, I think we should trial the implementation first, see how it works. Because it's a complicated, you know, it's slick, it's complicated. Does that make sense?
It does make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because once we start, actually, if we want to start implementing this more widely, I think it would be better just to, you know, do it once and have it done. I think it could be fairly easy, given how it's laid out currently. I mean, I saw the code reviews. And because if we want people to remember to add that, I think it's on one line, like your code expander, object expand or something like that, and people would tend to forget, I mean, and yeah, but until we, if we want to still try as this, I guess, for some time, then we can definitely should hold this off.
Okay, so are there any other questions or comments about the expanded REST API pattern?
Have we discussed this, kind of the results of this at a tech committee?
Not yet.
Okay, so I have some more questions, but we can talk about it at tech committee.
Yeah, definitely. We have, I think we have actually scheduled time for the next tech committee to talk about this. I have an action item to remind everyone. So yeah, we will definitely be talking at the next tech committee about this.
Okay, great.
Okay, and since we are running out of time, if you have any more questions, then you are welcome to bring them to the tech committee. And I will move forward to this quick bug, which was about the search box expanding out of the dropdown, as you can see here on the screenshot. And I am actually showcasing this on the perf test server because it has a lot of data. It needs more than 10 to show this search box. And as you can see, it does no longer expand out of the dropdown. It's contained within it. And I have checked this for a lot of dropdowns. It seems that it works properly. I guess the only different, more wide one is here in the report service. It's also contained within the dropdown here. Okay.
I'm impressed at how wide that one is.
Quite, yeah. Okay, and I guess that's from me. Are there any questions? Okay, then I will let Paweł Albecki showcase now. Thanks.
Okay, so the first ticket I want to show you is view basic order details. This ticket was about showing some basic details in the new view on the UI. So I will move on to the server. And to view orders. So we have a new fulfill button here. So I will click the fulfill button for a regular order. And we have some basic details here. One of the details is administrator. It's username of last updater. Fetching that username from backend was done also with expanded REST API pattern. And I will also show you that for emergency orders, we have indicated that here that this is emergency. Do we have any question for this ticket? OK. not, I will move to next one, which is VM status. VM status should only be sold when the column should only be sold when program has orderables that has VM status configured, and this should be done even if orderable isn't visible on the screen. So I go to test server to, I can now click any stock management view because it works the same way on every screen. I will choose the first one. So family planning doesn't have any orderables with VM status. So if we try to make adjustments, we don't have a VM status column here. And if we go to essential methods, essential methods have one product with VM status configured. But even if we didn't choose it, we have that column already here. So for this, we can set VM status. And the next ticket was a bug. This was about stock management printing not working for stock card summaries and stock card details. And this was caused because of in Java code, the zone data time was changed to local date and it was not reflected in reports. And I fixed that. And also, as we don't have a unit test for this, for report generation, we figured out that we should have a contract test for reports. So I added two contract tests for that report. So if any error like that will occur in future, we will have a contract test failing. Yes, I think that's all. Do you have any questions?
So I want to pull back to 3027 with the VVM status. Just because I want to make sure that Mary Jo is okay with how it's implemented, the way that I understood and I thought we were building it was if an orderable was added to the actual grid, then we would get the VVM status column. And I just looked at the ticket and the language wasn't clear. So I think this is fine. But I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Thanks for bringing that up. It really wasn't explicit about when exactly it did want to be responsive. If there are no products in the grid that were the VVM status, then the VVM status column should be there. Or is how this got implemented is if there's any orderable program at VVM status, there's always a column within a program. Could you clarify what the implementation is?
I could hardly understand you, Mary Jo.
Sorry, I don't think our connection is very good. I'm just trying to clarify. Brandon's going to type it out.
Great. We could also have this conversation on the ticket. Because I think changing the logic at this point would not be very hard. But I just want to make sure that we're all clear about how it works. Because I'm not sure if they're the value. Yeah, I think we can talk about it offline. But I just wanted to clarify it and flag it.
Yeah, so to clarify this column, so when we have available or the labels with EVM. And right now we don't have on the grid any program with EVM and this column. And this column still is solved. Yeah, and if I would add a product with EVM, so the product bit wouldn't have to change.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like that accept criteria may be clear, but maybe we can just follow up in the ticket thread with any questions.
Yeah, let's talk about this in the ticket. This conversation is getting hard.
So, thanks. I think this is all from us.
Yeah, I think everyone has showcased what they have to show. So unless you want to add anything, I think that's all we have for today.
Okay, great. Does anybody from Team Ill want to showcase anything done this sprint or any other things people want to raise before we adjourn? Okay, sounds like nothing critical from Gmail. That's fine because we are over time. So thanks. Thanks for everybody for using Zoom. Looks like Mary Jo does have a question here before we go.
Yeah, I did want to note that we updated, and I apologize, I think our connection is poor, but the ticket about triaging in our sprint. Can you open that up for me? I'm sorry.
Let me try to find, yeah.
We have a ticket where we updated the documentation on triaging and submitting new feature requests. And I wanted to call that out and have folks take a look at it and review it. This is particularly important for those on kind of working on the Malawi side of things. There is a request to core of a new feature or a bug. It's more called out explicitly in our documentation on the steps. So it's 3467. If you look there, I only have the, if you look in the comments, it says where the updates were done, and it's in the contribution guide aspect of the read the doc. Okay, so I know my connection is bad, so I don't want to walk through it all. I just wanted to call attention to that.
Cool. Anything else other folks want to share or mention? yeah, the part Mary Jo was talking about was a lot of changes here in how we report bugs, how we prioritize bugs, with a whole new section added to explain. So you can see the diff and the details in that ticket, ticket 3467. Okay, well, if no one else has things to share, then I think we are done. Thanks for going a few minutes over. Thanks for using Zoom today. And I hope everybody there has a good evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Good luck with your lab session.
Thanks.